Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Eagles' playoff push continues Sunday in Landover, Maryland. The Eagles at 6-7 take on the 3-10 Washington Redskins. The Hall of Famer Ray Dininger is here to preview. Ray, good morning. Let's start with some of the news of the week. After Carson Wentz played that magnificent performance on Monday night in the second half to rally the Eagles against the Giants, he was obviously the top story, which we talked about earlier this week. But after that, I feel the practice squad players and their contributions was another top story, specifically Boston Scott. So my question to start off our conversation this morning is, why do you think it took the Eagles so long to recognize the talents and the abilities of guys like Boston Scott and Greg Ward, who contributed in big ways on Monday night?
Yeah, it's clearly an issue that should be that has to be addressed inside the building. For a team that struggled for any kind of offense for a good portion of the year and any kind of production at the skill positions, you know, the fact that you could have had these guys on the practice field with you every day and you got like 25 coaches out there. Somebody should have noticed. And it's not, you know, it's not like it was completely out of the blue. I mean, Greg, anybody that was at practice, either in the spring or in the summer, or went to the preseason games, I mean, you saw what Greg Ward could do. Honestly, I got to tell you, I never saw the guy have a bad practice. I mean, he was every single day on the practice field. He was one of your best players in terms of consistent. Always went hard. Never dropped the ball. Always seemed to be open. But, you know, I think that coaches just develop a little bit of a blind spot, you know, and yes, those guys are on the field, but they're practice squad. That's the practice squad. And so all your attention is directed towards the guys who you assume you're going to be dressing that week. And so they're kind of there, but they're not there in the eyes of the coaches. And until you get into a situation where you just have no other choice and everybody's hurt and they're the last one standing, so okay, we'll put them in. And then you put them on the field and say, wow, look at that. And, you know, the fans and you and I will say, well, why didn't you see that before? But the coaches, and it's not a good thing, but it's a natural thing, is they're there preparing their 53. They're there preparing the guys that are actually active players for the games. And the other guys are practice squad for a reason. And so they don't get the attention they deserve. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you go into practice squad and you find a pleasant surprise. I mean, sometimes it's just the practice squad, but sometimes you find guys that are a pleasant surprise. And, you know, Greg Ward shouldn't be a surprise, but he was. And Boston Scott, I mean, we talked about this on Tuesday. I mean, he coming in that game in the second half and getting the football, he really provided the spark that turned the whole thing around.
He did. He certainly did. And I anticipate him getting more reps and more opportunities because of that. News yesterday, Ray, Alshon Jeffrey, and we anticipated this. Alshon Jeffrey's season is officially over on injured reserve with a foot injury. His season, his future, all very much in doubt or question, very much up in the air, rather. How would you assess Alshon's season, and what do you think his future holds with the Eagles?
Well, you know, 43 catches, 4 touchdowns, that's way below his norm. And even, you know, the 43 catches, you look at the impact of the 43 catches, not much. I mean, how many of them were less than 10 yards? You know, he's never been a guy who had great speed. He's never been a guy who got you great separation. He was never a guy that ever seemed to be wide open the way other receivers are. I mean, he was a big-bodied guy with long arms who would fight for the football, and that's kind of what he was. But it just seemed to me, almost from the beginning of this year, that he was just not the same player. I mean, he was never a guy that was super fast. I mean, no one was ever going to confuse him with DeSean Jackson. But this year, to me, he just seems slower than he had ever been before, certainly more so than he was 2 years ago in his first year when he was a big player in the drive to the Super Bowl. And I don't know if it's just a matter of age, because sometimes that happens to skilled position players, and a year or 2 years makes that big of a difference. Or, and this is kind of what my theory is, I think he's been playing hurt all year, because he just hasn't looked like the same guy. He hasn't had any kind of explosion. He hasn't been able to get off the line of scrimmage, and he's had even more trouble than usual getting open. So I kind of have a feeling that even though it's a salary cap issue, and if they part ways with him, it's going to cost them in terms of the cap next year. But my feeling is, I think this is probably the end of Alshon Jeffrey as an Eagle.
It wouldn't shock me. Certainly wouldn't. What worries you, if anything, about the 3-10 Washington Redskins led by Dwayne Haskins and company on Sunday? What worries you about Washington?
Probably just two things. On defense, they have a good pass rush. They're fifth in the league in terms of sacks. They do get to the quarterback. They got to Aaron Rodgers last week four times and hit him a number of other times. So, there are a lot of holes in that defense. The secondary is not very good. Josh Norman, the big money cornerback, has given up more touchdown passes than any corner in football the last 2 years. So they got issues there, but they can rush the passer. And that's a concern if you're an Eagles fan, because, you know, Carson Wentz takes some sacks. He holds the ball too long. And sometimes when he gets hit in the pocket, he fumbles and turns the ball over. And I really think that's kind of the only way the Eagles can lose this game, is if they give it away. And the easiest way to give it away is to turn the ball over. And their pass rush against Carson Wentz, who sometimes is susceptible to the turnover, that's a worry. And on the other side, offensively, they're 32nd in the league for a reason. They just can't score. And a lot of it has to do with the young quarterback. I mean, he's a rookie, and he looks like a rookie. I mean, his passer rating is 61, three touchdowns to seven interceptions. When you watch him play, he looks confused all the time. And I'm not saying he won't be a good quarterback somewhere down the line, but that day is way down the line. But he does have one real good playmaker out there, and it's the guy that he played with in college at Ohio State, and that's Terry McLaurin, who's a rookie receiver who's really made an impact. I mean, he's averaging over 15 yards a catch. He's got six touchdowns. And last week against Green Bay, he made a just spectacular touchdown catch in the end zone. So you got these two guys there that have that little bit of chemistry that they brought with them from Ohio State, that all it takes is one little opening, and they can hit you for a touchdown. So that's it. It's the pass rush on defense, and on the other side, it's finding a way to not let Haskins and McLaurin team up for a big play.
And McLaurin had many big plays against the Eagles in Week 1 before the Eagles rallied against the Redskins with that victory. And there's no DeSean Jackson this time. If they do fall behind again, there's no DeSean Jackson this time to have a couple of bombs and catch it up. So those are certainly things to keep an eye on. What are your keys, Ray, for the Eagles to beat Washington on Sunday?
I think it's you know, being willing to run the football, even though you're a little short in the backfield, obviously, but you're even shorter at receiver, I think. And the Redskins' run defense has not been very good. They're 27th in terms of their defense. They're 18th overall, but they're 11th against the pass, but they're 27th against the run. So, as I said, their pass rush concerns me. That even though they don't have Ryan Kerrigan, Kerrigan has had an off year for him. He's only had five sacks all year. So it's not like he was the whole pass rush and now he's gone. The fact is, he's just been okay. It's the other guys, and they're getting them from all over the place. It's not just one guy. So that pass rush is nothing to mess around with. So I think that running the ball, to me, makes a lot of sense here. Don't put Wentz in the position where you're calling 45 passes and expose him to that rush. Just come out and run the ball. You know, a big dose of Miles Sanders, mix in Boston Scott, obviously. And I think you should be okay in terms of moving the ball on offense. I think this would be a good week to turn it over to the running game. And on the other side, in terms of the Eagles' defense, just don't give up the big play. You know, I mean, they gave it up against the Giants in the first half, a couple big passes to Slayton, and they can't afford to let that happen because McLaurin is equally capable of that. So I think in the second half of the Giants game, you saw Jim Schwartz go to a lot of zone defense with the safeties deep, just to take away the big play. And I think that might be the way to play this one, is don't challenge too much. Don't go to one-on-one coverage too much. You know, play the safeties deep, stay in the zone, don't give up the big play. Make them work the ball down the field as opposed to giving them the big chunk, and I think you'll be fine.
Ray, this has been one of the most bizarre Eagles seasons I can remember in recent memory. You know, you can never really get a good read on who this Eagles team is. You think they're gaining momentum, and then they lose, you know, three in a row. You know, you think, right. You think they're down in the dumps, and then they come back, and they have this miraculous comeback with a bunch of backups against the Giants. So I never really get a good feel for what this team is. I have the Eagles winning on Sunday 20-14 in a close, typical NFC East matchup that should probably be a blowout, but it's not going to be a blowout because we don't know who this Eagles team is, and it's the NFC East. What's your prediction?
Yeah, I'm pretty much right with you. And listen, my one loss record on predictions reflects how unpredictable this team has been. I mean, my record, I think, is just about the same as their record. And that's, you know, that's kind of what they've been. I mean, they are extremely unpredictable and very frustrating in the process. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at this one on paper, you just look at the matchups. I mean, you look at how much this Redskin team has struggled to generate any kind of offense. I mean, they aren't just last in the league. I mean, they're last in the league by a mile. I mean, they've only scored 188 points this year, which is more than 100 points below the league average. So, I mean, that's how offense challenged they are. Now, they'll probably hit a big play or two, and you just hope the Eagles don't turn the ball over and give them more opportunities. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle because everything seems to be a struggle. But, the Redskins don't have a huge home field advantage. I suspect they'll probably be just as many Eagles fans in the stadium down there as there are Redskins fans, if not more, and they'll be louder. So the home field advantage thing is kind of neutralized, and I look for the Eagles to pull this one out. And like everyone else, I don't think it's going to be pretty. Nothing's been pretty this year. But I'm going to say the Eagles will win this game, and I'm saying 23-14.
23-14. All right, we're off by 3 points. I feel kind of smart this morning. Ray, thanks for the time as always. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will recap Monday morning.
I look forward to it, David. Take care.
Take care, Ray. Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger of WIP and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.